Hello and welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them to lives of extraordinary mission. My name is Patrick Rice. I'm here in the studio with my brother in Christ, Dan Demite.
Hey, Patrick, how are you?
I'm doing sweet, dude. Today we have an amazing guest to bring to you today. His name is Andrew Laubacher. Andrew is from California, and he gave up a life of parties and promiscuity after encountering the love and power of Jesus and the life-changing empowering of the Holy Spirit. Andrew seeks to live what he considers the normal Christian life, a life of signs, wonders, and miracles that every Christian is capable of walking in. Dan, before we go any further, can you start us in prayer?
Yeah, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you would allow the extraordinary to become ordinary. We pray that the supernatural would become natural to us, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we would see biblical signs and wonders in our own day, that we would not just be complacent and content with what's happening in our world right now, Lord, but that we would beg eagerly for you to send your Spirit down and perform more miracles in our midst. We pray, Lord, for miracles in our parishes. We pray for miracles in our families, miracles within our friendships, miracles in our neighborhoods, miracles to happen on the streets, Lord, in the secular world. We pray for miracles in the workplace. We just want more of your wonder, more of your might in our midst, Lord. Open our eyes to see things we never thought we'd see. Allow us to just experience everything that you have for us, Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16, verse 17. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink anything with any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that we would once again demonstrate the signs that would convict the world that you are true, that you are real. Lord, give us a faith that doesn't only be satisfied with proclaiming the gospel, but give us a faith that seeks to demonstrate the gospel of the kingdom. Lord, give us the grace to be sacraments in the world, Lord, that we would bring visible signs of an invisible reality, your presence, your power, your love, living and working through us. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Dan, I love you.
Patrick, this is going to be good.
Excited a little bit. I love Andrew. Okay, I've gotten to know this guy pretty well. And this guy, he's just like, he's so fire. That's just the adjective, he's fire. God is doing amazing work in the servants of our church. And to me, Andrew, who we have on the show today, is reshaping I think he's reshaping Catholic ministry.
Hmm.
Okay? Like, you and I are in Catholic ministry. You run Catholic Youth Summer Camp.
Yep.
I'm a youth minister. And I see this guy is changing a paradigm, okay, of what Catholic ministry looks like. Because you have, like, the gospel, and then you have, like, it incarnated. Mm. And then, you know, you have generations of people. Like, for example, you know, what youth ministry looks like now is way different than what it did 20 years ago. Because there have been people that have been changing what it looks like to minister to youth. And in the same way, in Catholic ministry in general, I see what Andrew's doing as a game changer, okay? His whole testimony in his ministry gets to the entire identity, okay? And that age-old question, who am I and what is my purpose? Like, that's it. Who am I? What is my purpose? What am I supposed to do? And I feel like the way he's answering those questions, like, who am I and what am I supposed to do, is really, like, stepping up a notch what's possible, okay? So I believe, Dan, like, the current revolution in the church and ministry is really that question about identity. And I want to talk about that question, who am I? And would you agree, like, is there a revolution in understanding who we are in Jesus that's different than what it was before? What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, back in the 70s and 80s and maybe even the 90s, that when you would ask, who am I, it was this, like, internal search within me to discover myself, right? And there's this, like, internal change, but now there's an external reality that when we ask this question, who am I? And to discover who I am, I don't look inside. I actually look outside of myself. I look to the Father because I'm his son, right? Or mm-hmm. I look to Jesus Christ because he is the Son of God. And so if I'm a son of God, I must look to the Son of God to discover who I am. And there's this amazing shift happening right now in our ministry. Like you said, it's this game changer where Our ministry can't look inside to discover who I am. It's not about introspection. It's about worship of the living God and discovering more and more fully who the Father is, who the Son is, who the Spirit is. And in knowing who they are, I discover who I am.
I know, like the, you know, whether it's 70s, 80s, that this time of who am I, this move of introspection, looking in. And when I look in, like inside, I don't always like what I find, you know, because basically when I look in and I see who I am, what I've done, what my, you know, I get scared and I'm never good enough.
Mm.
But what, like you said, when I look out and I let him define who I am and not me, you know, you are my beloved son and you am well pleased. He said that to Jesus before Jesus did anything. And so this, this trap that we have of being pulled into our own performance and looking within, it's done away with because God loves us. We're his beloved son before, you know, Jesus didn't do any miracles before his baptism, but God was, he was still his beloved son. He was already pleased with him. And that's the truth. So if you're listening to the show right now, your worth, your identity, your value doesn't come from what you do. It becomes from who you are. And
exactly.
And I think that's the big thing. Now for me, Dan, growing up, not just growing up, but coming into my identity post-college, I graduated 10 years ago from Franciscan University. My paradigm, like who I was, okay, it was kind of reduced down to this, okay, that I'm a Catholic, I'm a son of God, and that meant that I believe all the truths of the Catholic faith, all right, because that was in opposition to this relativistic worldview of the world that said, pick and choose what you want, and I'm like, no, you've got to believe what the church says, right? You believe it, and then you live out all the difficult obligations that the world finds too difficult. So I define myself as, it was kind of limited to believing it, doing it, and, you know, everyone else, this is too hard, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah, and even in the midst of our current, I don't know what you'd call it, political realm, right, that we can even reduce our faith often to, okay, well, and now I believe it, and that, and I believe these political points, and now,
yeah,
like, it just becomes, you almost become like a... faith almost becomes politics, right? Where,
yeah,
like, I stand on this side of the issue.
Yeah.
And it's not about what side of the issue you stand on. It's about who's who you stand with, right? Jesus Christ.
And I think what God has done in this season right now, I hope it's more than me, but it's that being Catholic means that Jesus lives inside of me and the Father has sent him. Just as the Father sent Jesus, so he sends me. As the Father sent me, so I send you. And it's like, whoa, the commissioning I have, if I have Jesus in me, I'm called to do what he's called me to do. And what did Jesus do, Dan? Like, as the Father sent me, so I sent you. What was he sent to do? He was sent to do things that were supernatural. His ministry was a supernatural ministry where he proclaimed who the Father was. He proclaimed this kingdom that the Father wants to cover the earth. And then he demonstrated that kingdom. And like he said in Mark 16, in that great commission, these signs will accompany those who believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Like, one of the normal biblical norms that we have to, like, accept is that we can bring a supernatural ministry just like Jesus did. Like Jesus laid hands on the sick and they recovered. We should expect the same thing. And here's the issue. I'm so sorry. I just hit the
table. He keeps hitting the table.
I hit the table.
Yeah, that's not an earthquake happening. Patrick's getting so fired up.
I wish I had a pulpit right
things here,
right? You know, like, so, like, it's like this. Do you let, there's two ways of reading that scripture. These signs will accompany those who believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover and all those other signs. You either let your experience, okay, determine your interpretation of scripture, or you let scripture determine your experience. You know what I mean by that? It means this, okay? Like, I don't see healing, so therefore, I'm going to interpret it to a way that allows me not to expect it. And when I do that, I lack faith, right, for what God can do through me. But if I say, oh my gosh, this is what the Bible says, I need to let the Bible become my reality, then things start to change. And that's actually what happens in Andrew's testimony. He allows the word of God to determine his reality and not his experience determine how he understands his, you know, scripture. Does that make sense?
Exactly. You know, that's actually, that was at the heart of what, St. Francis experienced, right? He was reading the Sermon on the Mount, and in the midst of reading the Sermon on the Mount, the Word of God became so living and active in his life. He just was like, I want to live everything that Jesus proclaims in the Sermon on the Mount, and I want to make that my reality. And that's what we need when we approach the Holy Word of God, which is living and active, which is sharper than a two-edged sword. We need to pray that it would become our living reality, that the encounters that happen in Scripture would be the encounters that happen in our own life.
And going back to Scripture, like, this is what Jesus said. Like, if you believe in Jesus, if you're an Orthodox Catholic like I am, right? Like, you believe everything that the church teaches. You believe everything that the Lord teaches. And he said this in John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. He said, amen, amen, verily, verily, truly, truly. That, like, that's a listen.
Yep.
Dan, listen to what I'm about to say. I say to you, whoever believes in me, do you believe in Jesus?
I believe
All
in
right.
Jesus.
Whoever believes in me will do the works that I do and will do greater ones than these because I'm going to the Father. All right, what works did Jesus do, right? When you look at all the works he did, you can't reduce that to the natural works. Like, he was kind to people.
Yeah, he
didn't
really
judge
nice.
Sinners. Like, yeah. If we just limit it to the natural, we miss like who is inside of us. We don't understand our identity. But if we realize, oh my gosh, he was kind, he didn't judge, he brought mercy, you know, he fed the poor, but, you know, he also healed the sick, he cast out demons, like, he did miracles whenever they were needed. Like, that's what he's talking about, and he's saying, you'll do greater ones than these. So Jesus says, like, okay, here's my ceiling of my works, like, you know, from floor to ceiling. Here's what I give you, the works that I do. And then when he said, you'll do greater works than these, it's like he took a sledgehammer, broke the ceiling, and he said that, you know, my ceiling is now your floor. I want you to go and do greater things than me. Why? Verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, I will do so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything of me in my name, I will do it. So Jesus wants us to, like, say, okay, your job is, like I said, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what I'm doing. Jesus said, I'm bringing heaven to earth. I want heaven's reality to become earth's reality. And so I want you to do the same thing as the Father sent me, so I send you. Bring heaven to earth, okay? And if you encounter a situation on earth that doesn't look like heaven, pray in my name, and I'm going to do it for you. And that's when miracles happen. That's when we see the kingdom of God come in power. And then why is it happening? He says, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. When we do the works of Jesus, the Father is glorified.
Mm.
Like,
amen.
He wants us to do these supernatural works to bring glory to God. And so a lot of people, they're afraid of supernatural signs and wonders or whatever your issue is. Here's the bottom line. If God's being robbed of glory unless you're stepping out in faith and doing it. He's not glorified by you just, you know, sitting under a rock and just, like, I don't know, doing whatever you think is glorifying God. He wants you to listen and bring heaven to earth. That glorifies God. And when we glorify God, like, we come alive in the Spirit.
Yeah, I think we need to give God permission to work in supernatural ways, right? Where I think a lot of times our fear holds us back from giving God permission to make himself God and to make himself known.
Yeah. Now, here for Andrew, like, this is something that Andrew's walking in this, okay, in his daily life. I love it. What makes this possible? Like, what makes it possible to do that? It's like, just like Jesus, in his baptism, he received the Holy Spirit, right? And then Jesus said, like, wait for the Advocate. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit, right?
Yes.
And so this baptism in the Holy Spirit is what empowers Andrew and empowers us. Dan, can you talk to our listeners that aren't familiar with the outpouring of the Spirit? What is that?
Yeah, so after Pentecost, of course, the Spirit was poured out on the church, right? And it wasn't just meant for the apostles in the upper room. Actually, right after Pentecost, as Peter's preaching, he says, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Father wants to pour out the gift of the Holy Spirit on us, right? That we would receive the same gift that the Son received, the Spirit, which allows the Son to perform his ministry here on earth. But when I think about the gift of the Holy Spirit, I think about how often we can receive a gift but not actually use the gift. Right?
Like you go on retreat and you have this really powerful experience, and then like the purpose was that experience, but it wasn't. It was to empower you to go into the world and do something.
Exactly. So we don't encounter the power of God so that we can say we had this impressive encounter with the power of God. We do it so that we can go out and do more ministry, so we can bring the power of God to others. And I think, just to tell a quick story, so we were watching the Olympics. I was watching the Olympics with my 8-year-old daughter, and 4 years ago when we were watching the Olympics, she fell in love with gymnastics, right? And she just was like, "Dad, I want to do that," right? And so as a father, I wanted her to practice. And so we built her this balance beam, and we gave her this gift of a balance beam. And down in the basement, she had this balance beam, but she never used the gift, right? And so this past year, as we're watching the Olympics, 4 years after we had given her this gift of the balance beam, she says, "Dad, I really love gymnastics. What I need is a balance beam." I was like, Sophia, you have one in the basement. Like, we gave this to you 4 years ago and you've never used the gift. And she had received this gift, but she had never used it. She had never activated it. And so this passion inside of her, this desire in her was never fulfilled, right? And the desire never left. She still desired to do gymnastics. But because she didn't use the gift, she even forgot she had the gift. And I think that the same thing can apply with us, where God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we actually desire to bring renewal in the church. We desire to bring the Spirit of God in the world, but we don't use the gift of the Spirit. And so many of us have probably forgotten that we have this gift.
Like, yeah,
we have the gift of the Holy Spirit inside of us, the gift of God himself that wants to renew and transform this church.
And I think it's so key. Like, she had to see other people doing it to desire it. So the apostles, they saw what Jesus was doing, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, yes, Lord, I want to do that. I want to bring heaven to earth. I want to demonstrate who the Father is, the goodness of the Father here, and bring conversion." And so, like, you know, Andrew saw this happening, right? And we're going to hear about this. But we have to see other people and then desire it. And then once we desire it, God wants to give us the gift, okay? Guys, the question is not like, will God give me the gift? It's like, yes, he wants to give you the gift if you want it. And so, but when you receive it, you have to use it. And
exactly.
So like, I think that's the big thing right there. We have to see what's possible, receive, and then go out, you know, step out in faith and go for it.
Well, when we strive to use, if you will, or to activate the gift of the Holy Spirit in our life, we're not always like super successful the first time, right? Like, so Sophia, she started using her balance beam again, and she's trying to do cartwheels on it. And a lot of times she'll fall off and hurt herself and start crying. And so she's not perfect yet. And that's exactly like, as a father, I'm not like, "Hey, you really messed up. You should stop trying."
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm like, "Hey, great job trying. Get up and try again." Like, and I think a lot of times we'll try to pray for someone and we're like, "Ah, I didn't do as well as I should have, or this person does it better than me, so I'm never going to do it again." And the Father's like, "No, like, I am so glad that you're using the gift that I've given you.
Keep practicing. Like, Dan, we've seen some pretty cool healings, you know, and we've talked about a lot of them on the show, but I remember like I remember reading the scripture and being convinced that like, yeah, like this is supposed to be normal. And so I took opportunities. I remember I was actually at a parish mission, and like, we offered prayer ministry, and I didn't even talk about healing, but this guy came up that was like deaf in one ear, and I'm like, "Can I pray for your ear?" You know? And he was like, "What?" And I'm like, "Yeah, like, I think, you know, God wants to heal your ear," you know? And like, I prayed for the guy's ear and he didn't get healed. But like, I feel like, you know, whatever issue or whatever it was, like, I feel like God didn't say like, "Oh, Patrick, you shouldn't have said that or done that." I think he was like, "Oh, you know, like, I love you so much, you're going for it."
Well, I bet that guy, even if he wasn't healed, right?
Yeah.
But I bet his heart was touched that day.
Oh, I bet
he felt loved and cared for, because you took the time to just say, "Hey, you're worth me praying for right
now." And actually he actually stayed and he prayed. He was my prayer partner for like all the other people that came back for prayer.
Oh,
so
wow.
Like, yeah, he was definitely touched. But for me, I was like, I felt like a failure. But yeah, it wasn't about that. And I know God just loves it when we fall down. When my daughter's learning to walk right now, and when she falls, I don't yell at her and say, "How could you fall? Like you messed everything up." I'm just like, "Oh, you're so cute. Keep going for it. I love you." Okay, so we're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Encounter. And when we come back from the break, we're going to hear from Andrew Laubacher's experience of figuring out that Jesus Christ defines what the normal Christian life looks like. And we can expect to walk, to love, to heal, and to empower the world like Jesus did. So just stay tuned and welcome back in just a moment. Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. Right now, we're joined on air with Andrew Laubacher. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Dude, it's going so well. So, Andrew, can you tell us about your family and faith life growing up?
Yeah, so I grew up in Ventura, California, and I have awesome parents, one older sister, and growing up was great. You know, we went to church every Sunday. Life was good, you know, and church was just something that was a non-negotiable. You know, you had to go, and it was a pretty amazing place to live in Southern California. I would be able to, you know, surf and play sports and, you know, things that I just look back on. I was like, man, I was super blessed to be able to do those things. And, yeah, my childhood, I mean, I went to private school, you know, till eighth grade, and yeah, it was a really good, wholesome childhood. Like, I really look back on it, and like, man, like, it was awesome.
No, Andrew, amen. You felt like, I know, well, really quick, for our listeners, just know that Andrew, right now, he's a full-time Catholic worship leader and speaker, goes all over the world. He was at World Youth Day, and he does all this amazing ministry. But Andrew, I know that at one point into high school, you really fell away from your faith. Can you tell us about that time?
Yeah, so, yeah, up to eighth grade, you know, everything was good, like, with family and friends and sports and all that stuff. And then I wanted to go to a public high school, honestly, because I was tired of uniforms and, you know, all the crazy rules of, you know, private school. And so I decided to go to this this public high school, and I was playing basketball, you know, surfing, and they had a surf team, and so I got there.
Wait, what does a surf team
like
do?
For people to hear, I guess. Yeah, they had.
I'm from Midwest Ohio, like, so yeah, that, yeah, surf team.
yeah, it was real, man. And so yeah, I went there, you know, started playing basketball, and just the friend group I got thrown into were just very secular in the way of thought, you know, and already partying, you know, as a freshman in high school. And I wanted to be cool. Like, I really wanted to fit in. And, you know, God was just kind of an obligation for me to go to on Sundays. And I never, yeah, I really saw that, like, loving, alive relationship. And my friends seemed like they were having a really good time partying, you know. So I started to get into that. And at the same time, I was in confirmation, you know. So I'd be going to these confirmation classes. Just really didn't, like, connect with people there, or, you know, I always thought I was too cool, you know, I had too much swag, like, I was, you know, in the back, like, you know, trying to look all cool with my skinny jeans and Vans, and, I just, like, wasn't, you know, I just wasn't into it. And pretty much, yeah, as high school went on, I just kind of grew more secular in my thought and in my lifestyle, and by junior year, you know, I was, you know, smoking a lot, drinking a lot, you know, hooking up, going to parties, you know, concerts, and just really just kind of like that rage, like, let's just rage, you know, that lifestyle.
Yeah.
There's no God. My friends, you know, didn't have any faith. And I was actually angry at God, too, mostly because I just really couldn't, like, intellectually believe that there was a good God. And never really heard any good arguments why I should believe in the existence of God. You know, and I had my youth ministers there, and I actually ended up playing worship at church on Sundays just because I had to go to Mass, and I was so bored and didn't like it so much. I was like, well, I play guitar, I might as well play at Mass, you know. And so there'd be things I'd be doing Saturday night, you know, and then going to Mass on Sunday, and it was just bad, you know. It was just that total double life.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, to the extreme. And yeah, I was just an angry person, you know. I was just a totally angry person. And a lot of my anger, too, was because I grew up with anxiety, like really bad panic attack anxiety. And I really blamed God for my suffering. And I used the drugs and the parties and stuff to kind of calm that stuff down. And it really made it worse, you know. But I would identify probably as atheist. I don't think I really knew what that meant. But that was just my friend group, you know. It's like you live for the next party, and you live for the next, you know, hookup and the next good surf day. And, yeah, there's no really eternal perspective at all.
Yeah, you're like, you're at least a practical atheist. Like, you live like God didn't exist.
Right.
Now, Andrew,
right.
What changed? When did God's light break into your life?
Yeah, so pretty much after my senior year that summer, I was planning to go to community college and just kind of continue doing whatever I wanted. I wasn't, you know, a good student. I just didn't care. And I graduated, and a couple days later, I was going to this party, going to this house I've been to hundreds of times, and I had some drugs on me, and I was going about a mile away from this house, and I rolled through the stop sign in my car, and I looked to the left of me, and I saw a cop car, and I was like, uh-oh. And got to the end of the road there, and he pulled me over, you know, and saw, obviously, my drugs were all right in my car. And so, you know, handcuffed me, put me in the back of this cop car.
You really are a surfer. You're just keeping drugs on your passenger seat.
Yeah, that was so stupid. So, yeah, I was sitting in the back of this cop car, you know, and it was horrible, like, you know, it really does suck being in the back of a cop car. And I was just like, man, this life, this sucks. Like, I never want to be in this situation again. And I didn't have any, like, oh, I need Jesus or, like, I need God. It was just like, dude, this sucks. I never want to be in the back of a cop car again. You know, so he gave me a ticket, took my stuff, let me go. I had, you know, a court date. And I went to this party, and, you know, all my friends started finding out I got caught, and they're like, oh, dude, this is your last night to rage. No, everyone was smoking a bunch, drinking. And I just said no. And I was like, I'm never doing this again. And that night I stopped smoking, drinking, all that stuff, parties. And I went back home. I tried to hide it from my parents. That didn't work out. I ended up missing my court date. So I had, like, a $50,000 warrant for my arrest. So
yeah.
That, like, made me even more anxious and depressed. And so I ended up going to court, you know, paying all this money. And then I'm like, okay, what, you know, what now? Like, I'm depressed. I'm anxious. I don't want to hang out with those friends because they only really want to hang out if I'm going to go party. They don't actually care about me. And I got invited to go from my youth group to another Steubenville youth conference. And I was like, oh, great. Get to go hang out with the crazy Jesus people, you know, for a weekend. And I've already been to, like, two or three of these conferences prior, but each time I'd maybe have a little encounter with God, but just go straight back home to the parties, straight back home to just living the way that I wanted to. And so I reluctantly went in Arizona, and Saturday night adoration, you know, the classic, you know, night of worship and prayer and adoration in front of the Blessed Sacrament, I encountered the love of God in a way that I still really can't describe. I didn't have crazy feelings or anything, you know, really huge emotional response, but I felt the love of God in my heart, even in the midst of all of my sins, all of my anger, all of my rebellion. And I remember like being there and just using that phrase to my youth ministers, like, he got me. You know, like, he got me, and that moment really shifted everything. I mean, I went home like a different person, and I started reading my Bible. I started watching EWTN every day with, like, you know, Beth and, or what is it, Super Saints? You know, I started to fall in love with the saints. You know, I started to go to Mass. I started to read, you know, the Lamb's Supper by Scott Hahn, and I started to go on these retreats, and I just, you know, continually saw God starting to move in my life, and, you know, made mistakes after my conversion and went back to confession and received God's mercy in a powerful way. And that's right when I started doing worship. Like, I didn't know how to sing. And at that conference, I was like, Lord, I want to sing for you. That phrase was just on my heart. And it's pretty crazy to look back now and remember those moments, because, like, that was the first time I was like, Lord, I want to sing for you. You know?
And now that's, and like, your, now that's your ministry. Like, you lead worship full time. Yeah. Like,
amen.
I can't believe this is so cool. So, wait, I know you eventually got to Franciscan, okay?
Right.
Okay, so let's just fast forward. You ended up, you go to Franciscan, you're hungry. What happened there to continue, like, growing deeper?
Yeah, so, I mean, I started leading, so those first 2 years I was at community college, Ventura College, studied music theory. And I was starting to lead worship, you know, at my church, you know, and then I started, you know, both my youth ministers went to Franciscan, and they were always telling me about it. And I literally was just that kid that was like, I will never go to Steubenville, Ohio, and leave Southern California where I can surf the most beautiful waves every day. You know, like, I'm never going to do that. And I just started to find myself going on Franciscan's website, just really desiring some young adult community. I really had no one my age that was living out their faith. And there's definitely times I was super alone, and just was really longing for some people that were on fire too and wanted to worship. You know, I literally went from listening to, like, gangster rap, reggae, rock and roll to just straight up worship. Like, my whole, like, my iPod, you know, when we had iPods, was just worship music, you know? So I get to Franciscan, and I'm getting really involved in all the worship and stuff there. And I'm really, you know, all of a sudden I'm starting to hear people speak in tongues, hearing stories of people getting healed, delivered. And I'm just, like, super curious about this. And
really quick, that's from the scripture that Jesus said these signs will accompany those who believe. They'll speak new tongues, they'll cast out demons, they'll lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. And so you started seeing that for the first time, right?
Right.
Okay. Keep going.
Yeah. So, and I'm studying theology and philosophy. So, like, my mind's getting blown by truth on a daily basis. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. You know, Christology, you know, all of these awesome, you know, like, studies about God. And then I'm, like, starting to see stuff in these worship events and starting to hear about all this charismatic stuff. And, like, we did praise and worship at my parish. And, like, I heard my youth minister speak in tongues maybe once. You know, but there was never really any emphasis on, like, you could do this stuff too, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I started to see that, like, oh my gosh, there's people my age, there's friends that are walking in these gifts. And I remember I just started to ask a lot of questions just all the time, like, to friends, the people who were leading these ministries. And I just got super hungry for an encounter with God in this way. And so that kind of led me to getting Father Michael Scanlon's book, Let the Fire Fall. He was the founder of, you know, Franciscan University, TOR. And I literally went to the library and read his book in about 4 hours. Just,
wow.
Just pumped it out, like, was blown away by this thing, Baptism of the Holy Spirit, and what it did to his life. And so I read that in 4 hours, and after I was like, dude, I want that right now. And this is a Saturday. This is a Saturday night, you know, at Franciscan. There's not, like, I mean, I know people think maybe that people are just, like, constantly, you know, doing praise and worship all over the place, but that's not necessarily the case. But there was a random praise and worship prayer meeting that someone just texted me right after, and I was like, I'm going. And there's probably about 40 of us, and, you know, we're worshiping, we're praying, and I'm just, I want this. And the priest goes through, starts praying over people, and, like, everybody rests. So, like, everyone, I'm like the last one I get prayed over, and I'm like, oh, hit me, you know, like, I'm ready. And, like, and nothing happens, and I'm just standing there, and it's, like, super awkward because literally everyone's on the ground resting in the Holy Spirit. And I just sit, I just, like, I go and sit in the back, and I just kind of pout, like, I'm like, God, what the heck? And just kind of, yeah, just pouting and kind of a little angry. I was like, man, I really wanted that. And then all of a sudden the priest says, hey, is there someone here who wants to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and gift of tongues? And I was like, yeah, you know, raise my hand. went up and got prayed over. I rested in the Holy Spirit in a pretty profound way. Got up, and he just released tongues, you know, and prayed for it. And I went into the craziest tongues I've ever gone into my entire life. And I don't even know what it is at this point. I'm just, like, going in this weird language. I feel like that fragrance was released in my being. And I literally got intoxicated. Like, I experienced the drunkenness of the Holy Spirit. Like, I was giggling. My body was, like, super light and tingly. And I've never been so, like, in love with God, like, you know, than any other moment in my life. So that happened. And then all of a sudden, some girl's knee, you know, was her ACL or MCL was torn. And he's like, dude, pray over her knee. And I was like, okay. And I just prayed over her knee, and her knee got healed instantly, like completely. She was jumping up and down, going crazy. And that's when I was like,
God.
I, like, my life in Christ was altered. Like, scripture came alive. I was at Mass, and I was, like, so zoned into Mass. I, like, nothing could distract me. So, yeah, I started praying, you know, in tongues every day, and then just really started to pray about, Lord, what's this healing thing? Like, you said we would do this and greater things. Like, what does that mean? Like, can we actually participate with your, like, divine plan for people every day? And so it was a pretty, pretty profound experience, and definitely opened me up to this whole new reality of living, you know, a supernatural lifestyle.
Yeah. So really quick. So you read Father Scanlon's book, Let the Fire Fall. That yep. night, you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you yep. drank the new wine, you started speaking yep. in tongues, and then you prayed over a girl's knee whose ACL, MCL was torn, and she was completely healed. And then you're reading John 14, and you're like, you know, whoever believes me will do the works I do in greater works, and you want to do this supernatural ministry. How did that start right. to, when did that really start to manifest in your life?
Well, yeah, pretty much right after that, I was just with a group of people at Franciscan who were all hungry for this stuff, and so I started watching, you know, guys like Bill Johnson and Todd White, these Protestant, you know, preachers who I'd heard of, that they were watching, that, you know, were walking in these gifts. We started watching, you know, these documentaries, Furious Love, Father of Lights, you know, Holy Ghost. And so we started to see this stuff, and we're like, man, we want to go do this. And so I remember going to Walmart with four of my friends, and we would just started praying over people in Walmart that were sick and injured. And, like, we would target people that were, like, in wheelchairs or in, you know, walking with a limp or, you know, in crutches, you know. And we started to see people getting healed and stuff, like, in Walmart.
Yes.
And that's when it was like, are you, like, you know, you're just, you feel like you just won the lottery when you see someone, you know, restored back to health and just they're, you're almost in the beginning, you're like just as surprised as they are, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, but then you start to see, like, the reality that this is God's heart for people. Like, if we want to, like, everything Jesus did, he saw the Father do. And I want to see that too. Like, Father, I want to see what you're doing for, you know, this person right now in Walmart. And so I was surrounded with people who were hungry for it too. And we started to just go out all the time. It didn't matter where we were, if we were just at a restaurant, getting dinner, going to a grocery store. We prayed with a lot of people on campus. People would show up, man, with Lyme disease, Crohn's disease. We saw them just get healed right there. Like, just pain would be gone, and would hear of actual, like, recovery, you know, wow. from things like that. And so, yeah, it was a pretty amazing time. Like,
I mean, Andrew,
a lot of learning.
Is there anything, like, better than seeing the look on someone's face when you lay hands on them
yeah.
and they experience, like, something change in their body, and then they can do something they weren't able to do before? Like,
oh, it's insane, dude.
I mean, I just imagine, like, what, you know, when after Pentecost, you know, like, Peter and John go to the temple, and there's yeah. this beggar asking for money. And I mean, imagine, like, this is probably, I think this is, like, the first person that got healed, like, in the book
right.
of Acts, right? And then they get up. I just
miracle.
Imagine, like, them coming back and being like, guys, just guess what happened? Like,
right.
Peter said this crazy thing, and then it happened, and, like, can you believe it? Like, and they're, like, discovering this, and you're discovering what they had. And, like, I mean, it changes, like, what is normal Christianity look like? And before we get a break, I just want to ask my listeners, like, who defines Christianity to you? Is it, if it's another Christian, like, I think we're missing it. We're getting the wrong measurement, because Romans 8:29 says that we're being conformed into the image of Jesus, that Jesus is the example of Christianity. So, Andrew, we're going to take a break right now. But when we come back, can you? I know there's one awesome miracle that just totally changed someone's life. I want to hear about the girl in the wheelchair. So I want to hear that, and then I want to learn more about your ministry. So we're gonna take a break right now. But when we come back, we're gonna hear from more from Andrew. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. We've been interviewing Andrew Laubacher about being launched into supernatural ministry, walking in signs, wonders, and miracles, just like Jesus. So Andrew's been shared on the before the break some amazing miracles that he just started seeing in his daily life, praying for people. And I just wanted to share a verse, okay? Remember, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And this is what Jesus said, John 10, verse 37. If I do not perform my Father's works, do not believe me. But if I perform them, even if you do not believe me, believe the works so that you may realize that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Jesus gave his listeners, okay, the people that he was ministering to, he gave them an out. And the out was, if I don't do the Father's works, don't believe me. And I think we need to say the same thing. If we're not doing what the Father wants, then don't believe us. And Andrew's doing that right now. Andrew, tell me about this girl in the wheelchair.
Yeah, so this is like right after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit at Franciscan, went back home. I think it was just Christmas break, actually. And I know this may be annoying, but in Christmas, you know, in December, I surf as well.
No.
Yeah, very nice all the time.
Cut his mic, Dave. I can't handle it.
Yeah. So I was on the beach. I just got done surfing. And, you know, I was just like, man, I want to, you know, I'm just looking for people to pray with. And still just super new to this stuff, really kind of timid still. And, you know, so I got done surfing, got out of the water, and I saw a girl in a wheelchair on the beach, like on the beach. And I was like, all right, this is it. I need to go pray with that girl. And so I changed, you know, went down to the beach and just kind of approached her and just kind of said, hey, how's it going? Like, you know, can I pray with you? And her parents didn't speak English, but she did. And she's like, yeah, sure. And so her parents kind of left. They just started walking down the beach. And I just asked her, like, hey, is there anything I could pray for you for? And she just like unloaded her life story. And it was like, she just got out of the hospital. This was the second time she tried to commit suicide. She had cerebral palsy. She struggled with depression, drugs. And I asked her how old she was. She was 15 years old.
Wow.
And so I'm just like, so I'm hearing all this stuff and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you know, this is a lot. I don't know if I could pray for this, but I had this boldness come over me. And so we prayed over her cerebral palsy and just over her life. And her knees, like, visibly straightened out. She felt, like, a warmth all over her body. And so she, like, stood up and started walking, and she was walking better.
Come on.
And her parents came back, and they started kind of freaking out. You know?
Oh, my gosh.
And so, like, I'm just, like, we just prayed. And so she's trying to communicate that to them. And she ended up being Catholic. And I recorded this at the end, but the phrase that, like, gives me the chill still today is, she's like, I think I believe now.
You know? Oh my gosh.
And I was like, yeah, I hope you do too. Like, I got rocked too. Like,
I'm not sure.
You know? And so I ended up staying in touch with her, and she ended up going back to confession, going back to Mass, and like, that's what it's about. It's about, it's not just about the testimony or people, you know, experiencing healing. It's about that healing leading to relationship and back into an encounter with God in the church, you know, and that's what was just incredible to witness. So that one still is probably one of the top I've ever seen. And sometimes I'm like still blown away that, man, God, you know, God wants to touch people wherever they're at. I mean, this was a girl just on the beach who just tried to kill herself. Like, what are the chances that I were to come up to her to talk to her at that point? You know, I mean, just when everything comes together, dude, it's like, man, this is the will of God for people.
Yeah.
And this is the normal Christian life, you know?
Yeah, and like, and I love you. You're already looking for people to pray for. Like Jesus said, like, I pray that you have eyes to see, ears to hear what my Father wants to say to you. What my Father is seeing through you. Like, when you were saying that, I saw this image of you. Like, you already had that. You carried the Father's heart, and you saw this girl, and you just knew, like, you know, you had God's compassion or something like that.
Right.
Was there an experience like that for you, or am I making this up?
Right.
What went through your mind when you saw her? That's what I'm asking.
Oh, when after she got healed?
Yeah.
Oh, I was so pumped. I was just like, we were both freaking out together. Cause then I asked, you know, like what, you know, she felt. And it was like, I didn't say any of this. She's like, I felt heat on my knees. I felt heat in my shoulders. I felt love, you know, and all this stuff. And I left the beach just totally rocked, like just really, really, I felt a compassion of like, wow, Lord, like you want to work through little people like myself, you know, like I'm just a dude on the beach who just got done surfing, you know?
And Andrew, like, this is so key. Often, I mean, how many times do we hear people say, hey, will you pray for my friend? They have cancer. Or can you pray for my aunt or uncle? This is going on. But like Jesus, Jesus said, like, you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover.
Right.
But like,
right.
I don't know. It makes me think that there's so many people out there that God wants to heal, but he wants someone to lay their hands on them because he chooses human agency to bring forth his work. You know, Jesus did he need to get baptized by John the Baptist? No, but he chose the human agency of John the Baptist. He'll choose you. If you're listening right now, God wants to choose you. He's choosing you.
Yeah.
To bring forth his salvation into the world. He's choosing you to bring signs, wonders, and miracles to a culture that is not believing. Now is the time to shine like bright lights in a corrupt generation.
I think there's something so profound, Andrew, too, about just the simplicity of going up to a stranger, right? Like, and so often I think we're scared to pray over people we know because we're like, oh man, if God doesn't do something. So like if that's a fear in your life, that's okay. Like we need to overcome our fears. So maybe just start with praying over strangers, right? Like there's something beautiful in that. What does Jesus do, right? As he goes through these towns, he approaches strangers and he prays over them. All the healings take place. Take place with strangers.
And he offered, like, he never forced himself. Andrew didn't say, hey, receive, you know, like it was like, is there anything I can pray for you for? That question is so, you know, innocuous
and
like,
the most
it's easy.
Yeah.
And love, you're going to be able to give love no matter what, right? Like if you pray over a person, I've prayed over strangers before, and it's like the moment you start praying for them, just tears start welling up in their eyes because they've never been loved like that.
Yeah. And I think people think too, like they're afraid to like, oh my gosh, what are they going to say? What if they say no? Like, I remember I went to pray over people in a mall once, and literally every person said no. You know, I'm like, that's just what the day was. But, like, sometimes I think people would be surprised. I mean, I pray with people on planes almost every time in airports. And I think people would be so surprised. I've never had someone get mad at me for wanting me to pray with them. Not one.
Now, Andrew, I'm looking at the clock here. So really quick, I love that, like, your job is a Catholic minute, like, speaker, worship leader, and you're awesome at that. But, like, the thing that you seem to get the most fulfillment out of is, the normal day-to-day stuff, the normal Christian life stuff. But, Andrew, I do want to hear about the gifts that God's given you to lead worship. So, you know, talk to us about worship. What does it mean to you? How do you approach leading worship?
Yeah, I think every time, and this is obviously a really Southern California surfer dude analogy, but every wave that I catch, every wave that you will ever surf is different. It's almost like a fingerprint. Every single time you surf every wave, it's going to be different than the wave before. And so I think entering into worship, entering into prayer, realizing that, man, every time we worship and pray, it's going to be something different. Like, God's going to give you something new. But to go into worship knowing that it's a response, like we're responding to God who first loved us, right? And this is just how we express our love for Him. And for me, it's just a very profound way that I express my love for God. So whether I'm leading teens or young adults or adults who are maybe kind of timid and not really, you know, understanding like what this is and how you can express your love for God in this way, I think just being able to encourage people that this is good, that this is normal, that this is how we should respond to God on a daily basis, you know, and it doesn't need to be with a couple thousand people at a conference, but it can be in your room, you know, it can be when your door closed, and that can be your worship. You know, your worship can be through song, it could be, you know, and all these different ways the church teaches us. I love to lead worship, and I think music is an incredible vehicle that God uses to take us up to the throne, you know, and I've seen some really powerful encounters from other people and in my life. I remember just real quick, my first time I actually realized that I could use this for God's glory was I used to just take my guitar to adoration and just worship just by myself in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you know, at my parish. And I remember one time I was singing like How Great Is Our God or something. And I was just right in front of the Eucharist. I was singing it, and I turned around, and this woman I didn't know was there. She was just bawling her eyes out, like just God was just touching her through this worship. And I was like, wow, like that moment will stick with me forever, because it was like, Lord, you can use this to encounter people, and you want to encounter people in worship, because when we draw close to you, you draw close to us, you know?
Amen.
And so it's a real amazing, beautiful thing to be a part of, and I really do enjoy getting to do it full time.
Dude, that is so awesome. Now, Andrew, you have an EP, okay? I love it. How can our listeners, I mean, you've played at youth conferences with thousands of people. You've played at small retreats. If you're listening to the show and you're like, I want this guy to come to my church, my parish, my retreat, how can they learn more about you?
Yeah, so you can go to my website, which is actually my nickname. So I got this my freshman year because no one could pronounce my last name when you read it. So they gave me this nickname, A-Lob, A-L-O-B, which has kind of stuck for me my whole life. And so all my music... all that's under A-Lob. So you can go to Spotify, iTunes, all that stuff, and just look under A-Lob. You can find my music there. And then, yeah, to contact me for retreats and other worship events and speaking, the website is www.a-lob.com. So a-lob.com. And I have contact stuff there. My EP's there, a little bit of my story. That's pretty much my main point of contact.
That's awesome. So Andrew, we're going to close in prayer together. So will you join us in prayer?
Amen.
In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Come,
Father,
Holy
we thank
Spirit.
You so much.
Come,
you
Lord
are bringing
Jesus.
A new springtime you, into your church, like Pope John Paul II prophesied. Jesus. Lord, you are bringing signs and wonders like Pope John the 23rd prayed for, as if by a new Pentecost. It's happening now. Father, we thank you for doing it in the life of Andrew. Father, we pray that you would do it in the life of every listener that's hungry.
Lord.
Father, I pray that there be a stirring up of spiritual gifts, of charisms, of healing, of words of knowledge, of prophecy, that people would have ears to hear what you want them to do, eyes to see who you want us to minister to, and bold faith. I pray for the gift of faith and risk-taking, that people would go out there and demonstrate the works of the Father so that people would come to believe and know our Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you. We pray that your love would just overshadow us right now. Just send your love upon us. Lord, let us know how much you love us as our Father, that we are your children, and we just want to please you. We want to be your little children, walk with you and run with you. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us on Encounter. On behalf of Dan, Andrew, and I, we pray that you have the grace to respond to every divine encounter that God brings to you today. To learn more about the show or how you can share your life-changing encounter with our audience, please visit EncounterRadio.org. That's EncounterRadio.org.